All right, this time I'd like to call to order the meeting of the Genoa Township Board of Trustees. This is a zoning meeting. The date is December 2nd, 2019. The time is 6:30 p.m. Roll call.
Mr. D'Antonio?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Okay, we're all present, and along with us we have Joe Schaefer, Director of Development and Zoning. This meeting of the Genoa Township Trustees will be recorded. The meeting audio and written minutes will be available on Genoa Township's website at www.genoatwp.com or by contacting the Genoa Fiscal Office. Public comment will be limited to 3 minutes per person, and there is no yielding of time. This is case number ZC 2019-10, Bright Path Active Learning, LLC, Final Development Plan. And I will read the legal notice. Erica Wares / Bright Path Active Learning LLC is requesting approval of a final development plan to construct a child care center on 1.077 acres at 5940 Chandler Court, Westerville, Ohio 43082, parcel number 31731305014000, a vacant lot currently zoned Plan Community Facilities District, PCF, ZC case number 2019-10. At this time, anyone that will be making public comment, I'll swear you in. If you would, please raise your right hand. You solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God. Very good. Legal notice of this meeting was printed and published on November 20th, 2019 in the Delaware Gazette and posted on the Genoa Township Hall on November 18th, 2019. An attempt to send notice of this meeting to adjacent property owners was also made. The following are marked as Exhibits A through J. Exhibit A is the legal notice. Exhibit B, affidavit of advertisement. Exhibit C, sign-in sheet. Exhibit D, application and plans originally received September 19, 2019. Exhibit E, revised application and plans received November 21, 2019. Exhibit F, fire marshal letter dated September 26, 2019. Exhibit G, trustee acknowledgement of the Zoning Commission's recommendation made on November 13, 2019. Exhibit H, staff technical review dated November 25, 2019 for December 2nd, 2019. Exhibit I, staff memo dated November 25th, 2019 for December 2nd, 2019. And Exhibit J, all public comments received between September 19th, 2019 and December 2nd, 2019. So at this time, I will ask for a staff report from Joe Schaefer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will note on Exhibits H and I, I'm sorry, the dates in the script weren't updated. They're both dated November 26th, 2019 and December 2nd, 2019. So obviously, very minor detail, but just cleaning up the record. You have before you the memo and the tech review. Because this is a rezoning or a project that you recently heard the rezoning on just a couple months ago, I'm not going to get so much into the history. I think we all know how we got here. The rezoning was approved by the board in late August 2019. As we heard during that hearing, the applicant has a very tight timetable, so they went ahead and submitted their final plans. Got through the Zoning Commission, as you acknowledged, back in November, and are back here before you seeking final development plan approval for the property at 5940 Chandler Court. The development square footage is now approximately 5,600 square feet. So I'm just going to get right into sort of the site layout and what's changed. How the building's situated in relation to the road and the parking lot remains unchanged. There'd be 6 classrooms for preschool, ages 3 and up, half kindergarten, half and all day, and after school, which is K-5 program. The geometry and size of the building have been revised since rezoning was approved. The proposed building is approximately 600 square feet larger, and as always, note that porches are exempt from floor area calculations per the definition of floor area in Article 4 of the resolution. The proposed height of the building is 23 feet and a half inches, which applies to the regulations. Fenced into open space play area, approximately 13,970 square feet in size, would be located along the southern, which is the rear, and eastern, which is the side of the proposed building. The play area is larger than what was originally proposed during the rezoning process. The applicant has stated in their materials that they would prefer to place the fence on the property. This is acceptable and does not require divergence. However, again, I'll just note again, the power lines run across the rear of the property, and the applicant's already well aware of this, that there could be potential conflicts with the utility company. They just need to be aware of any restrictions. And I will note on the plans, they have shown a small the power company easement, so they acknowledge that on the plan. There is a small non-disturbance area along the rear property line that they're also, I believe, acknowledging back there. So it does appear that they've taken those power lines into account. Access to the site would be with the two driveways consistent with the layout the board previously saw, one on each end of the parking lot. With regards to parking, one van accessible handicap space has been proposed in the 23-space parking lot. The total number of parking spaces, which was and continues to be compliant with the requirements of the zoning resolution, has increased by 3 spaces from the preliminary plan review during the rezoning process. 2 buses and 1 minivan could potentially be parked on the site. These vehicles are used for kids to transport children to and from schools. Parking lot will be lit via 3 LED downlights situated 18 feet above grade, which is compliant with the zoning resolution. The closed dumpster would be located at the western end of the parking lot. Stormwater detention basin would be installed along the site's western edge. Subsurface management may also be provided as needed or required by the county. A separate drop-off pickup area is being proposed. As you know, they're utilizing the parking space, or it's not being proposed, I should say. As you know, they're utilizing parking spaces for this function. And they're going to stagger the drop-off and pickup times, as was discussed during the rezoning process. Parking spaces are available for this. Legal parking doesn't occur off-site, and traffic does not back up at the Chandler Court. Those are the 3 things that they have to take into consideration and why they're doing the staggered drop-off and pickup time. The applicant has provided a mini parking study, which is Exhibit 8 in the materials, which analyzes how parking is functioning at their current location and which projects their projected parking needs at the subject location. They are confident that 23 parking spaces will be adequate for the projection. Do not disturb area, as I mentioned, exists along the entirety of the site's southern border, 5 feet in width, measured north to south, as well as a portion of the site's western border, which is 46 feet in width, measured west to east, and 51 feet north to south. There in front of you have the signage table, which compares the proposed signage on the right-hand column to the permitted regulations, or the signage that is permitted by the zoning resolution in the middle column. As you can see, they're proposing one sign. It's less than the max permitted message area, so they're compliant. The sign height is not applicable because it's not a freestanding sign, and none of those other standards are applicable because, again, it's not a freestanding sign. The applicant has provided language in the text indicating that the proposed entry exit signs would not count towards any signage restrictions. Section 180301B does not require zoning permits due to the small size and height of the sign. They're exempt from zoning permits and therefore exempt from any kind of further review or regulation as part of the process. The building mounted sign will be externally lit with gooseneck lighting. The proposed lighting complies with the zoning resolution. No changeable copy or electronic message center signs proposed. In regards to divergences, if you recall during the rezoning process, 3 divergences were granted and are being, I won't say re-requested, just being incorporated in the final development text. And if the board votes on the application this evening, staff would recommend that those divergences get reincorporated in this motion so there's no confusion in regards to whether or not the divergences were granted during the rezoning were applicable to the final development. So those divergences were the 140601 and to 140607A, which basically speak to the fact that this zoning district generally was supposed to be on an arterial street, or have access directly to an arterial street. As we all know, Chandler is not an arterial street, but it does connect directly to an arterial street, hence the divergence request and the granting of the divergences. And then, as previously noted and approved to Section 1408, which requires a litany of different setbacks, they got divergences to the following setbacks under that section: front parking from 30 feet down to 18 feet, front driveway from 30 feet to 18 feet, front building 100 feet down to 50 feet. The text notes that the divergence request for the rear parking lot setback requirement was requested, but again is not needed because it will exceed the 75-foot requirement. requirement from the rear lot line. Same with the rear driveway requirement, the site's already compliant, hence the divergence didn't apply. And then the divergence to the rear building setback reduction from 50 feet down to 25. Delaware County Engineering previously waived the requirement of a traffic study and accepted a traffic memorandum in lieu of said study. They approved said memo on June 26, 2019. Zoning Commission unanimously recommended approval of the final development plan during the regular meeting on October 15, 2019, and that was a 4-0 vote. Following items were noted by the trustees as being desired in the motion approving the site's rezoning, which was CC case 2019-01 back on August 26, 2019. Have not been provided. We'll discuss this a little bit further, I'm sure, during the applicant's portion. Number one was a shared parking agreement with GM Arbus Restaurant. Number two, a letter of understanding from North Lawn Cemetery regarding planned events. I do have a note that the applicant informed the Zoning Commission that the cemetery verbally expressed to her that they had no concerns, as evident in Exhibit 7, the letter dated October 14, 2019, in the materials. The cemetery was sent a public hearing notice and is not communicated any concerns to staff. So all signals point to the fact that the cemetery is completely fine with what is being proposed here. So the trustees determine that the development plan is agreeable. Staff recommends the approval motion site be incorporated divergences, as I mentioned. Should the development plan be approved, of course, it would have to obtain all zoning permits and still move through the county approval process before any construction could begin. Moving on to the tech review, as you can imagine, not a ton of comments here since it's already been through the wash during the rezoning, then again with the Zoning Commission. I've already discussed the comments 9 and 10, which have to do with the letters, the Marcos and the North Lawn Cemetery issue, comments 1 through 3, just note the divergences. 11 through 15 are all just general commentary that appears in every review, so no action needed there. Comment 16 was, there's a measurement arrow depicting the typical depth of the proposed parking spaces on the drawings on page C3. The parking space is completely fine, it's compliant, it scales out, but due to a drafting error, the arrow got a little shifted. You can see right here, instead of measuring from here, instead of measuring from, where's the corner? Is it working? So Ms. Tyson's gonna help me out here.
Instead of measuring from here,
shifted down. But I did take out the 24 by 36 plans, which are drawn to scale. I scaled them all out. Everything scaled out completely fine. So it's just nothing more than a pure drafting mistake that just can be easily corrected.
Okay.
The rest of the reviews, there was really no other commentary of note. Public safety, maintenance had no comments or concerns. The engineering commentary is the standard commentary in regards to approval of the stormwater plan. I've already touched on the traffic matter. So with that, I should note, during this commission's hearing of this, they had one individual show up to the meeting. It was public comment. It was in support of the project. I have not, since the board's meeting, which we did hear one concern during the rezoning hearing, staff has not received any other concerns about this proposal whatsoever.
Okay. All right, any questions of Joe before we get into the applicant's presentation? Is there a G. Marcos shared parking agreement in our packet?
No, and that's...
Where is that?
Pardon?
Where is that?
They didn't provide one, and that was one of the things we're going to discuss, or I'm sure the applicant will discuss this evening as part of their presentation.
Okay. All right, why don't we get into the applicant's? It's a good segue. Applicant's presentation.
Again, my name is Erica Wiz. I'm the owner and founder of Bright Path Active Learning. Each time we have one of these meetings, I'm not sure how far to go back in some of the details. Joe always does a very nice job of summarizing things. You know about our business and our desire to move to Genoa Township. I feel like we've gone through so much work in the rezoning process that we are all very familiar with things. To follow up on a couple of the items that were outstanding from the last time we met, which really the main areas of conversation were the North Lawn Cemetery and Gianmarco's shared parking agreement. I do not have written agreements with either of those things, mainly because it's a bit hard to ask for them to put a written agreement in place. We have had many verbal conversations about being willing to work together. I believe operationally we can manage with the parking spaces that we have. We have a lot of flexibility options in the way we conduct our day. Some things include, if we keep our Schrock Road location, which is the plan, even if we close it for a year to get our enrollment up, we'll still keep that agreement with the church. We can park all our vehicles there. We can park the staff there and they shuttle over in the bus. I mean, there are a lot of options, which we'd really like to make work in our daily other than using someone else's space. It never seems like a good long-term solution. The main times that we have talked with Gianmarco's about are, number one, if we wanted to have some sort of special event, which we don't do large open house type events now. We do small sessions that people register for and RSVP for, so we know who's coming and when, and those are in between drop-off times. The other time would be at the beginning of the school year, when everybody's starting new and things are kind of getting the kinks worked out, if you will. That's the time of year that I think if we needed to work together, which they have been very willing to do, but to put something in writing which says we can use X number of their spaces and times just seemed like something they weren't comfortable doing. And quite frankly, it's like a contract. As soon as everything's in writing and we're making signatures, I understand Tom Bernardo's perspective on that. But so I feel like I didn't feel like what he was saying was unreasonable. I felt like what I was asking for seemed like a lot, but we're both willing to work together as neighbors. That's honestly where things are, and I'm very comfortable with that. I'm not at all concerned. Our number of parking spaces meet the resolution, so we're not asking for to get by with less. The second topic that we talked about was the cemetery. And again, we did send them a formal letter saying we agree to, but I think, I don't know, as soon as they sign it, then it means, okay, we're okay with everything. And we don't even know. It seems premature in my mind with them because we don't even know if there's going to be a conflict. And I'm more than happy. I mean, we have all the flexibility in our day. I can keep the kids in. It's a half an hour memorial service. We can stay inside and go outside another time. That's basically what I told them, and they were fine with it. Quite frankly, they thought sounds of children playing might not always be offensive to people. They kind of got a reaction like, we're fine. why are you calling me? But I don't foresee that being an issue either. And as Joe said, neither parties have come to the table saying I have an issue or I don't, and they've been, all the public information about your concerns and everything else has been available to them. So I guess that's kind of where we are on those two topics. Do you have questions or comments?
You go ahead.
Matthew Teisman, 6611 Hillmar Court. I just wanted to give some general overview about, the change in the building size and the reworking of the parking lot, as parking was a big topic of discussion. So, as we get further along during the design process and we've pretty much wrapped up our construction documents and are ready to apply for building permit from Delaware County, as soon as some approval is granted, we've kind of developed the scheme and added some more square footage to make the building, more occupiable and user-friendly. So it got a little bit larger for that. We've added a slightly larger kitchenette and an art area and these kind of things. The occupancy level has had a very negligible effect on parking. As parking was a big topic, we did do everything in our power to increase the amount of parking spaces. We're now at 23 parking spaces. We also have reduced the handicap accessible parking from 2 to 1, which still meets the ADA resolution, so we still have enough van accessible and ADA parking so that one spot won't be maybe sometimes empty more than others. So those are some of the changes that we've done. That's all we have. We're happy to entertain some questions and comments.
Okay. Let's see. Next up, I think, is public comment, and I don't think we're going to have much of that tonight, being that there is no one else here. So thus, there would be no applicant's response. So why don't we just get right back into board discussion and a little bit of Q&A and try to get this wrapped up. So questions from the board. Or discussions.
I'll go ahead and start.
Yeah.
First of all, I do appreciate the time that you spent in contacting both Giamarco's and the cemetery. I completely understand that neither one of them really wants a written contract, and the fact that you have reached out to them is the neighborly policy. Should something happen in the future, I think you've opened that door that they would feel much more comfortable in coming to you and talking to you should an issue arise. So thank you for taking the time to do that with both of those parties. There's just a couple things that I have. I think most of this was pretty self-explanatory at this point. On page 5 of the text, there's a note that says that you plan on providing a much-needed service to families in Genoa Township. Preschool, kindergarten enrichment, and after-school care. Does that imply that you will be giving priority to families in Genoa Township?
I don't know. You know, we're a private institution. I don't know that I don't have any history, but we will market to Genoa Township.
Mm-hmm.
And by marketing, we can prioritize our bus routes, Genoa Township schools, to pick up and drop off and increase convenience when it comes to after school and things like that. It's kind of the nature of where we are. I feel like we will attract Genoa Township residents. But other than how we route our buses and strategies as such, they will be focused around the Genoa Township schools.
Sure.
But we won't exclude others.
Oh, no, there was not an exclusion.
Yeah,
it was a first offer,
yeah,
to Genoa Township resident families, and then others, but I wasn't sure what that implied.
Gotcha, yes. It basically just means that there aren't, in my research, there are not a lot of these types of centers in Genoa Township. So that was more the idea of the much-needed service. I hope I'm in a situation where I have to prioritize.
Right. Yeah.
wouldn't that be nice?
And have that many students.
One other question. On page 18, you talk about 3 vacant/empty areas. And then it goes on to say there's a building for lease immediately to the west of the proposed development, and there's an empty lot west of that for lease building. And it says these 2 locations. Are you considering yourself the third, or where's the third one?
The 3 available lots, I think that was which?
I'll just read it verbatim.
Okay.
There are 3 areas where new businesses can move in.
Oh,
there is a building booked for lease immediately to the west of the proposed development. There's an empty lot west of the for lease building. These 2 locations will have similar operations as others in Chandler Court. As such, the proposed development of current and potential future uses of the Chandler Court plan districts are compatible.
Yes,
our lot is the third lot.
Okay, thank you. I wasn't sure where that third one was.
That's a great question.
It is a good question.
Okay, that's what I have for the moment.
Okay, Frank.
Thank you.
As a follow-up to Connie's page 5 comment, much-needed service, I think that that's a subjective opinion that is okay, but I think that it is subjective. You don't know if it's going to work or not.
Correct.
That it does.
You are absolutely right.
But I noticed that also.
Also on page 5,
it talks about the, I guess it's, 1401.01a, that it will preserve and enhance the charm and beauty existing in and inherent to the rural residential character of Genoa. Um, How so?
Great question.
I read the words, but I really don't understand how it's going
sure.
to
so,
enhance the charm in a planned industrial / planned development facility.
Okay, so let's work backward from that statement and kind of unpack what we're trying to say here. So, in fact, the last sentence itself, but within the larger context of Genoa Township. So Genoa Township is predominantly a rural residential township with commercial and planned industrial districts as well. So what we've tried to make in that statement is the building, with its siding, materials, architectural form, and extended outdoor space, will not only fit the character of the street. In other words, we're matching setbacks that the rest of the street has. It's a one-story building like the rest of the buildings on the street. The massing architectural form is similar to the rest of them, but also within the larger context of Genoa Township. So in other words, it sort of looks like a rural residential building, but also mimics some of the industrial character of the street.
Obviously, that's again subjective, but we did try to make it
they're not solid. They're not solid concrete walls that are of a warehouse-style building. So, not that there's necessarily anything wrong with that, but you have tried to do some architectural features there.
Because my opinion is that the exterior building materials fit more of the rural nature, kind of a farmhouse look. But I don't really think that it matches anything close to Chandler Court. I think it is going to stick out. I don't think that there's anything compatible. It's stucco, it's lap siding, brick. I mean, there's nothing like that. Now, when you look at it, if you took it out of there and put it someplace else in a residential, look at the other side of the road, Frost Road, that's, you know, the other. So I was surprised when I saw the actual, this is the first time we've actually seen the structure.
Mm-hmm.
At least this is the first time I remember seeing the structure.
It's been included in
it was
the
on the other one.
In this, with this,
exactly.
In color?
That exactly.
Oh, I apologize. I didn't see it. Let's go back to, I was really surprised when I saw that what we talked about previously was not increasing nor decreasing the size of the building. So when I saw that this thing went up over 10% in size, I was surprised, to say the least. Especially when we're concerned about the parking spaces. I know you're not concerned. We are. We agree to disagree. So how many employees will there be on average on site during the day?
A max of 9.
9.
I think I'd also like to reiterate that the increase in size of the building did not impact our ability to provide, and it didn't, it's not like we could have provided parking spaces if we didn't have that. It was more just the common area spaces. It also didn't increase capacity of the children. It really just increased some common area spaces that will be used for kind of size of the building at the expense of any of the other priorities that...
No, I saw that you increased the three additional spaces. I saw that. Correct. It's just that the thought of expanding was never discussed. So my assumption was that we were talking 5,000 square feet, not 5,600.
Right. So just to reiterate, the quantity of staff and the quantity of students has not gone up. So the building occupancy, from an operational standpoint, is not going to go up, and therefore not going to increase any additional parking.
Sorry to interrupt you. When you say has not gone up, does that mean that the placard that's on the wall is not going to go up, or does that mean you've made a voluntary decision not to go over X number?
So as Erica mentioned, she's held the very strict guidelines for the amount of square footage a classroom can be for amount of students that are in there. The classroom spaces did not increase in size, therefore the occupancy of children cannot increase.
So the
and
placard
in the building, and as far as the building code, she was never required to have it. It has no effect.
I operate on what ODJFS tells me I need as far as square footage per child, which is 35.
And I guess while we're addressing the topic, increasing of three spaces, there is a typo, I think, in the staff review or the technical review. It says it was previously 20. I went back and looked. I hope I'm not missing anything. I'm seeing 19. That's what development plan text indicated 19 and the drawings indicated 19.
That sounds accurate now that you say that.
So we've increased by four spaces, but again, we've also removed the extra handicap space. So operationally, one could argue that we've increased it by five. And again, are in full adherence with the zoning resolution.
You know, the increase in the building, this is kind of a living, breathing project, and then as you go through it, you want to build something that's aesthetically pleasing, that works within what we want to do. And I honestly didn't feel like when I was saying, hey, can we do this, which is how that process goes, that there would be, I did not realize that would be, since we weren't necessarily changing any of the, you know, capacity of the children or adding classrooms or anything like that, certainly. So I apologize for making that most recent change.
These entrance and exit signs, are there two signs per entrance and two signs per exit?
Correct.
On the right-hand side and left-hand side, so to speak?
Correct.
Will those be double-sided signs?
Correct.
Entrance will be on the west entrance?
Entrance correct. Will be on the west.
Okay, and entrance on the east.
Exit
on the east. So they wouldn't pass the entrance. That's why I was going to say
because
the entrance is the second one.
Yes.
But they get.
And Joe, you're saying that the entry and exit signs are not regulated?
Yeah. Correct. When we revised the sign code, we knew that those smaller entry exit signs would be problematic since we couldn't call them entrance and exit signs under the Supreme Court ruling. Because they're so small and since they're really tied to not advertising, here is more or less public safety and communication of where you're supposed to go in and go out, we thought, you know, as long as they meet that sort of size requirement, we're not going to
Will the signs be parallel to Chandler Court, or will they be some side?
Correct. The signs are perpendicular for line of sight, so as one is approaching in a vehicle, they have more line of sight on the approach. And then when they're at the turn,
Okay, how will you see this? My concern is seeing the signs from the parking lot if they get turned around start heading the wrong way. How are they going to see that?
So if they're heading this way,
they're heading west.
The parking lot is two-sided.
The parking lot is parallel with the street. So in theory, if line of sight works on the street, line of sight works on the parking lot side.
But you've got some mounting that's set back from the street.
We do have some mounding that is there. Those signs will, in theory, not be obstructed by them. They're not where the mound is.
And there's also, we go back to the operational aspects of our business, that the people who come every day. We don't, it's that initiating process that we go through every year with a lot of things in our world. But then people will know. It will be, they'll know. And it's another reason why our parking spaces are straight in, so there won't be like traffic tie-ups. They won't be stuck. They will be able to pull into a parking space if they realize they did the wrong thing and kind of get themselves out.
Will there be any painted signage on the pavement? Like an arrow?
None that's not a handicap or indicated on the drawing. So, in other words, no directional arrows listed.
Could do that if you feel like it would be effective, but we had not planned.
I'm just.
I do understand.
What we're considering here is perpetual, meaning that this isn't just for use/BrightPath. If you sell, if you somebody buys out, closes the doors, next occupant comes in, we're looking at this, that they will inherit, so to speak. And I understand, you know, one of the concerns is the backup on the traffic, and you say that you can regulate that, okay? Excuse me, backup traffic on Chandler. I didn't finish the sentence. And you say that you can regulate that, and you say that you will regulate that. But what about the subsequent owner? Will they do that? Or will they just let parking back up because parking's going to back up? So I'm, you know, it's a tight area. And I think we're all trying to make this work. I don't think we're trying not to be an obstacle.
No, I understand. And I do understand your concern about the perpetual use. And I guess I think about it in the sense of, one of the reasons why we in particular and our use has certain guidelines for how many parking spaces to have, and we're meeting that, we prioritize outside play space. There is land to have more parking. We prioritize play space on that. It's another, I mean, we've moved the building over from way back when we started this process. So if another owner who had a different use, obviously they would have to meet their use, their numbers of parking spaces that they would need. But there is space that they could add parking on the lot with our building, because they probably wouldn't prioritize the outside space the way we do, maybe.
But it
so
could be a
different.
It could be a different type of operation. Understand there's some confusion between daycare center and preschool and kindergarten and all these other different terms.
Yes.
But I also think there's a lot of speculation as to what could or couldn't happen there, too. So, I mean, anytime any business sells, I mean, I would assume they're going to take down the bright, you know, your signage. And, Joe, I don't know if there was a requirement, if they wanted to put up new signs, they would probably have to come to us. And so those types of issues probably could be addressed.
Yeah, if it's a substantive alteration to the site plan, whoever will possibly come back, would have to come back and get some sort of amendment approval through at least the zoning.
And I don't know what requirements, I haven't been down there for a while to see what the other businesses have, if they have a one way in, one way out. I don't know, but that's what I would assume. Since you know, the last time I was down there, So, anyhow, I mean, I think it's an issue that we need to look at. But I think the focus tonight is on this specific development, and the future will be the future. So,
can I provide a clarification?
Sure.
Erica has mentioned a few times, kind of poetically, that the process of design and how she's trying to get the best sort of product available, which I greatly admire, and thank you very much. We're at the end of that process now, just so you know, we're ready to do building permits. So we're not going to be changing anything and coming back in a month saying, now the building got even bigger, that kind of thing. That process is done.
That's where it's at.
Well, Well, and I believe, and Mr. Schaefer can correct me on this, but that's one of the reasons that we have the preliminary development plan and the final development plan. Now you're coming back with what, this is it, folks. You know, there's not a lot of movement that's going to happen from this point forward. And I would tend to agree with Ms. Wears on the parking situation. I think a couple times of someone going the wrong way, a lot of honking, shouting, waving, it's probably going to cure that issue very quickly.
Yep, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. On landscape plan L100, am I correct that that mound is 3 feet tall?
Correct.
The detention / meadow. I saw that. When it's dry, does that mean that you're going to play in it? I kind of saw that. It was kind of interesting.
The detention areas will unlikely, and maybe the case of a 50-year storm or something, will have standing water, but will unlikely not have any standing water. It's just a place for water to sort of gather in the ground before it goes away. So the meadow is intended in this particular case to be a sort of learning experience where students could walk through the meadow and look at insects or something like that. I would call it a learning area rather than a play area. It's not actually even required for detention at this point. All the detention is handled through stormwater in the parking lot, but we're calling it detention, a detention meadow. There will not be standing water in there, so there won't be a point where it's dry or not dry, unlike any of the, or just like the rest of the land.
So there's no drainage feeding into that from gutters?
Correct.
Parking lot, et cetera, it's just whatever falls from the sky?
Correct. So way it's treated just like all the other. You refer to C4 utility plan. You will see the 5 drains in the parking lot, and you can see a stormwater drain coming from the building, which will handle all the runoff from the gutters and the downspouts, will be fed underground into the stormwater management system.
What is the change in elevation in that detention meadow? Or is it on grade?
It is on grade. It's just a landscape feature. That's just a meadow.
Grassed area?
Grassed areas. Mm-hmm. Flowers.
Yeah. Okay. We do a lot of our education aspects involve nature and the environment. So like a pollinator garden that's off the side of an orchard where we could plant some trees, have some berry bushes. We do some winter gardening now, and we might like to enhance that a little bit. Actually have some winter garden boxes. Right now, that space is kind of just open and natural.
It was the detention that was kind of
throwing
me.
I can understand.
I'm not
that.
Used to that with that
concept. You're right. Normally, it has a very technical engineering context.
Right.
Erica, what was the age group again that your target?
So our target market is preschool. In Westerville, it's the other half of the day for kindergartners. That's what we call kindergarten enrichment. Olentangy, it would be that alternating all day kind of schedule they do.
Okay.
And then in Big Walnut, they have a similar system to Westerville with the other half of the day.
Okay.
And after school, would just be K-5. So we're not going to do infants or very young toddlers.
So I thought just.
3 years old and up.
Yep.
3 years old.
All right. Thanks.
Monday through Friday, correct. We operate primarily on the school year calendar for children who would enroll for the school year, and then we have a summer program
That's all I have.
Okay, very good. This time we'll go into a divergence review, I believe, Joe. Is there anything else we need to discuss on that?
No, I just listed all of that information there in case the board did want to go in depth. But like I said, all of those divergences were granted during the rezoning.
Yep.
We're not changing any of them. I just rewrote everything just as nothing else as a reminder. Again, should the board make a vote to approve this evening, I would request that the motion just in some way incorporate those divergences, just so there's no confusion that they are applicable.
Okay. All right, at this time I will move to concur with the Zoning Commission's recommendation of approval and thus approve with modifications to subject final development plan application submitted by Erica Wares and Bright Path Active Learning, LLC, to construct an approximately 5,600 square foot nursery school slash child care center slash kindergarten on approximately 1.077 acres located 5940 Chandler Court, parcel number 317313050140000, currently zoned Planned Community Facilities District, PCF, also known as Bright Path Active Learning, as further described, detailed, and illustrated in the plans and materials of zoning of ZC case number 2019-10, and furthermore, incorporating exhibits A through J, as well as any comments made by the applicant during this hearing, including parking for any special events or other activities requiring additional parking will be addressed through off-site options. Two, action will be taken by the applicant to address any traffic backups that may occur on Chandler Court. And three, the correction of C3 parking length dimension arrow that was basically the graphic that was incorrect. I further move to incorporate the previously approved diversions from ZC 2019-01 from the following sections of the Genoa Township Zoning Resolution. One, diversions from section 1406.01 to allow the proposed building to not be located on a major arterial or collector street. Two, diversions from section 1406.07A to allow a planned community facilities property of less than 20 acres to not have direct access to one arterial street, and three, divergences from section 1408 to reduce the front parking setback from 30 feet to 18 feet, front building setback from 100 feet to 50 feet, and rear building setback from 50 feet to 25 feet. This motion to approve the subject final development plan, which is not subject to referendum, is based on the following findings of fact: that it does meet the zoning resolution with granting of the diversions as recommended by the Zoning Commission, and two, that it is consistent as a business use for Chandler Court. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Further discussion? Roll call.
Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt.
Yes. Motion carries. Any other business come before the board? Hearing none, I will move to adjourn at 7:20 p.m. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Discussion. Welcome to Genoa Township.
Thank you.
Very good. Roll call.
Mr. D'Antonio?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes. Motion carries. We stand adjourned.